Mukhamakarati vachalam bhangam langhayate girin yagyagandham hambande shivarantir thavinam Amagyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshimaditam yena tasamai shikurave namaha. So let us go back to September 18th, 1965. What were you doing back then? Those of you who were born, can you remember what you were? Yes?
I was five.
You were 5 years old. Oh my goodness. So you were just starting school, perhaps. Yeah, I was 17, I think. 16, 17. 18, maybe. I was just going to college. No, I was just finishing high school, 12th grade. So that was the day Prabhupada landed in Boston Harbor in America. He was aboard the Jaladuta ship, which has just touched land in Boston. Although he's an old man who suffered two heart attacks on the journey, he carries with him the holy name, some books, Srimad Bhagavatam books, two sets of cloth, one tiny bag of chira, flat rice, some small change, 40 rupees. But his heart is overwhelmed with the mission of his spiritual master. As he looks upon Boston's bleak and dirty skyline, he is overwhelmed by both humility and compassion. And in this mood, he composed his Markine Bhagavad Dharma. So I'm going to hand out the song so you can follow along. Yeah. And also after we hear the song, then we're going to discuss some of the verses of the song. Yeah, so this is a discussion here. Use also these copies. This will be after me. So you can follow along with the song. It will be, the English will be there, but he'll be singing in Bengali. So you can follow the Bengali with the paper that you have. He'll be skipping the Bhagavatam verse. Okay, so I'll wait till he finishes passing them out. There will be some latecomers. Raise your hand if you don't have a copy. And the late ones are going to have to share with everybody else. Okay, so we start. I just go like this. Yes, we can.
Yeah.
turn the lights on. You can be the light person over there, somebody. No, on. Yeah, thank you. So you have this small, some of you may have this little thing that we passed out. It's an explanation of the verses. First we have a prayer of faith. Then we have a prayer for empowerment, a prayer of dependence, and a prayer of surrender. So each of these groups of verses expresses a different type of prayer that Srila Prabhupada was praying when he first arrived in America. So the first prayer of faith, most of the population is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied. Therefore, they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. So on the back, Giriraj Maharaj has made a little commentary. It's from Back to Godhead. And I won't read the whole thing. But what Maharaj says is that everybody is trying to enjoy, and either they're trying to enjoy them, they become disappointed, and then they try to renounce. So these two states are going on. So because everyone's so absorbed, it's difficult for them to get attraction for messages of Vasudeva. They don't have time to come for Srimad Bhagavatam class or to hear Bhagavad Katha. It's very difficult to do that. So it's a miracle that Srila Prabhupada accomplished what he did. He went to the West and convinced people who were so absorbed in something so far away from Krishna. He convinced us to give up all of our nonsense and surrender to Krishna very easily. And before Prabhupada left for the West, he was advised by one of his godbrothers that if you go to the West, you must learn how to eat with a knife and a fork and a spoon. And you must wear the pants and the coat. So Srila Prabhupada said, no, I will wear dhoti and kurta, and instead of myself learning, I will teach them how to eat with their hands. And they will wear dhoti and kurta and sari. So Prabhupada did that. Instead of him taking up our habits, he had us follow the culture of Krishna consciousness. And here we are today because of Prabhupada's no compromise. We are all wearing saris, kurtas, dhotis, although we are not from India, a lot, some of us, but we are accepting that culture. So then a prayer for empowerment. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I'm very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I'm seeking your benediction so I can convince them, for I'm powerless to do so on my own. Some or other, O Lord, you've brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. So the important point here is that Prabhupada was not seeing that he himself was getting the credit for coming to the West. But he's seeing that Krishna is bringing him. It is Krishna's arrangement. Even though Prabhupada had to endeavor so much to get to the West, and he was refused the ticket by Sumati Maharaji at first, but then finally she agreed, and he said, oh, it's actually Krishna who did it all. Krishna brought me here. So this is how the devotee feels that he's being empowered. And then the third page, a prayer of dependence. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I'm sure that when this transcendental message penetrates the hearts, they will certainly feel enlightened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. So the important point there in these verses is that Prabhupada, he's praying for empowerment that his words become powerful. At the same time, he's praying for his audience that they will also be able to understand. So the speaker, if anybody is speaking, he can learn from Srila Prabhupada. Not only you pray for empowerment so you can speak properly, you pray for the audience to be empowered so they can understand what you're saying. So Krishna gives them the understanding when you speak. So Prabhupada was so amazing that this prayer of dependence was given. Then prayer of surrender. Oh Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So if you've brought me here to dance, make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord. Make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. So Prabhupada's complete surrender is amazing. He says, I'm your instrument, you can use me as you like. I have no agenda of my own, no personal agenda. My agenda is whatever you desire. I'm here to accept your desire as my life and soul, to give everything to please you, to serve you. So Srila Prabhupada, he had a life of humility. Before he came to the West, he was a grihastha actually, and in his grihastha life he was also practicing pure devotional service. He used to have a pharmacy, that's what you call it here, right? Or a chemist shop, or every country is a different name. In America it's called drugstore. But that's not a very good word nowadays, so drugs. But pharmacy is more respectable. So he had a pharmacy, and he was selling medicine. So when Dr. Kapoor came to his pharmacy, and he said to Srila Prabhupada, you please give me a tonic, good tonic for good health. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, here is a nice tonic, you take this and you'll be very healthy. So then Dr. Kapoor said, but why don't you give me the tonic that you're taking? So Srila Prabhupada said, well, what tonic is that? And Srila Prabhupada said, Dr. Kapoor said, you know, the tonic of Krishna Prema. Give me that tonic. So Prabhupada said, well, I don't have the tonic, but I know the formula for it. So what is that formula? Chanarabhi sunichena tarariva sahichena amanina manadena kirtaniya sahari. Humbler than a blade of grass, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others. And in such a state of mind, you can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So one time, he was living in 1964, he was living at Radha Damodar, and next door to him was one Babaji Maharaj. So in the middle of the night, this Babaji was hearing this voice crying out, and he didn't know what it was, he just wanted to go back to sleep. So one night he went up to his roof of his building and he looked over into the courtyard and he saw Srila Prabhupada sweeping the courtyard of Radha Damodar temple and crying out, Hey Rupa, Hey Sanatan, Hey Gurudev, please give me your mercy. Without your mercy, I cannot do anything. Give me the strength, I can fulfill your orders. So it was he who every night at midnight was crying out to the six Goswamis. And this Babaji also was helping Prabhupada. He was cleaning his room one time. And he was cleaning up the ceiling and there were some cobwebs from spiders. So he was cleaning all of those cobwebs down and the spiders were coming down on the ground and walking. So Srila Prabhupada came in and he looked up and then he saw the spiders on the ground. And he said, why have you disturbed? He said, we should never cause disturbance to residents like these of the Holy Dham. He said, we ourselves are newcomers. They have been residing here for countless generations and must be respected. So he was more humble than a spider. We don't think about the spiders or the ants and the things like that, but Prabhupada was thinking about them. So one time also, I'll tell you a little bit about my association with Srila Prabhupada. I was in Calcutta in 1972. I went to Calcutta. We were sent by Srila Prabhupada, my husband and I. And we bought a one-way ticket to Calcutta because he told us to go there, but he never told us to come back. So we just stayed, and we've been there ever since in India, since 1972. So in those days, we just took the order of Srila Prabhupada, whatever he said, and we accepted that. So I was in Calcutta, I was pujari in the Calcutta temple. So Prabhupada came, and his panditji, his Sanskrit scholar, said to me, would you like to go with Srila Prabhupada to Mayapur? So I said, yes, I want to go. He says, okay, all you have to do, see where Prabhupada is translating Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's in Bengali. So you have to learn to read Bengali by tomorrow, and then you can come. I said, okay, no problem. Because Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And if you wanted to go with Prabhupada, you'll just do anything to be with him. So I learned how to read Bengali in a couple of hours, and I was off with Prabhupada the next day. And I was typing for him, and we were living in the Lotus building, which was not at all Lotus. At the time, it was under construction. There were some bathrooms, but there was no water in the bathrooms. And there were some rooms with doors that there were no handles in the doors, so you couldn't really close the door. There were windows, I mean, holes for windows, but no windows. And so we were in, and my room had windows, but it had no door. There was no door at all. So we had to go through the next room to get to the door. Now that room had a door, but no floor. So we had to go across this plank, across the room to the door, to go in and out of our room. So, but we didn't care because we were with Srila Prabhupada, so we didn't mind the austerities. So one time I was typing on this really old, ancient typewriter. It's, you know, not electric because there was no electricity. So it was not an electric typewriter. It was a manual typewriter. And you have to type in like this, every line, you have to hit it. And half the keys were broken. And anyway, but we didn't care. I was typing for Prabhupada. And so I had this huge Bengali book next to me, and I had the earphones, and I was listening to Prabhupada. He would speak the Bengali. I would read the Bengali and type in English like that. I would type, transliterate it from Bengali to English. So one day he came, and he was looking in my window, and he said, "Oh, you know Bengali?" I said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." I just learned how to read a few days ago, but I just wanted to make him happy. So I said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, come to my room." I said, "Uh-oh, what's going to happen now?" I went to his room, and so he said, "So, you know Bengali?" I said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." So he said, "So, you learn how to type in Bengali, and we will do many books together." So I had visions of traveling with Srila Prabhupada, but actually it never happened. But actually it happened 30 years ago that I started writing books. So I thought, okay, this is like a prediction that Prabhupada said, we will write many books together. And it actually didn't happen while he was here, but 30 years later, I've written 3 books already. So I feel like it's Prabhupada's inspiration. And Prabhupada's words, the words of a pure devotee must come true. So I learned how to type in Bengali when Brahmachari was teaching me. And the Brahmachari, he was teaching me the Bengali typewriter, and I said to the Brahmachari, I said, "Look, you can just type. You don't have to look at the keys. You can just look at the paper, and don't look. You can do touch typing like I knew how to do in English. Touch typing. You look at the paper, and you don't look at the keys." He said, "Oh, now I understand what Prabhupada told me. Prabhupada told me you teach her and you learn from her also." And so I was teaching how to touch type in Bengali. Okay, so let's go on. Okay. So Prabhupada, just think about it. He didn't know any of us in the West, but still he went there. He went there just to save us. So he was para dukaduki. So how many of you, I'll ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand, but just think about it. How many of you have ever suffered in some way and asked yourself, "Why me? Why not somebody else?" Did that ever happen to you? And how many of you ever asked the question, you saw somebody else suffer and you thought, "Wow, I'm glad it's not me." Or how many of you have watched somebody else suffer and thought, "Oh, why them? Why not me?" That is the Vaishnava. So Prabhupada, he saw everyone suffering. And he went and he wanted to relieve us of our suffering, even though he was such an old man and he had to sacrifice so much. So Prabhupada, and also, although he was the head of a huge movement, he had temples all over the world, he was not attached to the opulence at all. In 1977, he went to Bhubaneswar, and at that time, Bhubaneswar was not a temple, it was just a little hut where Gaur Govinda Maharaj was staying. And it was a very austere hut. It was in the middle of nowhere, and there were snakes, there were scorpions, no electricity, no running water. It was a very difficult place, and mosquitoes. And so they arranged for Srila Prabhupada to stay in a very nice, expensive guest house. So Prabhupada came to Bhuvaneshwar and he said, I won't stay in the guest house. I will stay in the hut that Gaur Govinda Maharaj has made for me. And 17 days he stayed in that hut with Gaur Govinda Maharaj. Although he was over 80 and he was, and it was very difficult for his health, he didn't care. He preferred the hut to the expensive room. So that was Srila Prabhupada. He was very humble. And in one purport, he quoted his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He said, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, if I could perfectly deliver even one soul back home back to Godhead, I would think my mission successful. So Prabhupada said, the Krishna conscious movement is spreading all over the world. Sometimes I think, even though I am crippled in so many ways, if one of my disciples becomes as strong as Dhruva Maharaj, he will be able to carry me with him to Vaikuntha. So Prabhupada, he said he was depending on us to take him back to Godhead. If one of my disciples becomes a pure devotee. But that was his humility. It is said in the Riha Bhagavatamrita that in all circumstances one should approach saintly persons. Even if one receives no teaching, spontaneous dialogue with them imparts valuable lessons. When one approaches persons who have real knowledge, emptiness overflows with fullness. Death becomes immortal nectar, and disasters can seem like good fortune. So I'd just like you to think for 1 minute, because all of us have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. If Srila Prabhupada hadn't preached, none of us would be here today. So I would like you to think how Srila Prabhupada and his mercy are manifesting in your life right now. Just think for a minute. How is Srila Prabhupada and his mercy manifesting in your life? Would anybody like to share with me how he's manifesting his mercy in your life? Yes?
I have so nice association of devotees. Whenever I go, there is so many nice devotees and temples and facilities.
There's temples everywhere, a nice association with devotees everywhere, and nice facilities. That's how Prabhupada is manifesting in your life. Anybody else? Oh, is there? You can come and sit up in front here. I think it's the only place left. Try not to block the projector. Yes, you've got the front row seats. Anybody else can share with us how Srila Prabhupada's mercy is manifesting in your life today?
We are listening to you, Daddy.
Listening to me is mercy. Yes?
Whenever I'm in trouble or in anxiety, I know at the end of the day I have a bhajan
and the holy name. Okay, whenever you're in trouble and anxiety, you know at the end of the day you have the bhajans and the holy name, and that's coming from Srila Prabhupada. Okay? Yes? We've got the chanting. Yes, that's what he brought. That's what he brought for us. Okay, so we'll just... like to say thank you to Srila Prabhupada. Somebody needs to come up and write on this board. Preferably somebody who's close to the front here. You want to come up? Oh yeah, Tarika is very fast. She's the best. Okay, Tarika is going to write for us because she's very expert in speed writing. Because gratitude helps us to develop love for Krishna. The first stepping stone to the goal of prema prepares your heart for love, and your soft heart will attract Radharani. So what would you like to thank Srila Prabhupada for? Yes?
Prasadam.
Okay. Everybody can agree with that? What else? Yes?
Community of devotees.
Yes? Yes?
Books.
Okay, what else? Books. What else? Yes?
Chanting.
Very good. What else shall we say thank you to Prabhupada
Deity
for?
Worship.
Deity worship. Okay, yes.
His disciples.
And Queen is running out, of course. And I don't think we have another one.
There might be one
I don't think so. It ran out today. The children were in that's how it's finished. The children were playing and they ran the blue out. Okay. Anyway, we can just say it anyway, even if we can't see it. She's going to bring some. Okay? Just do your best until she comes. Anything else we can say thank you to Srila Prabhupada for?
For his work, time.
Work, time.
For his
establishing centers.
Establishing centers all over the world.
Revealing the Holy Dham.
Revealing the Holy Dham.
For his books.
Yeah, we got books.
Festivals.
Festivals. Okay. Simpic succession. Yes. What else?
Culture.
Culture. Oh, here's a little boy.
ISKCON temples.
ISKCON temples. Yes. What else?
GBC.
GBC. What else? Okay, yes?
It's like farming and cow protection.
Oh, farming and cow protection. Very good. What? Restaurants. Okay.
Inspire the people, they sponsor the feast.
Inspiring people to sponsor the feast. That's a good one. I mean, I've never heard that in all my classes so far. This is the first time. And 20 classes. Oh, thank you for that.
Diana.
She's got, here she's got a pen.
Giving us the opportunity to go back to Godhead.
Going back to Godhead. He's taking us back to Godhead. Oh, right, we can see now. What else did Prabhupada, what else do you want to say thank you to Prabhupada for?
For the service.
Service. Oh, devotional service. Very good.
Service to
the devotees. Vaishnava Seva. Okay, what else? Yes?
Varnashram.
Varnashram. Varnashram. Good. What else? Yes?
Gurukul.
Did you go to Gurukul? No. Gurukul. That's why. Gurukul. Yes, Gurukul. Yes. Thank you, Prabhupada. Yes.
He's humble, but also strong preaching.
Humble, but strong preaching. Okay.
Sacred Dhams.
Holy Dhams. Yes. Making the Holy Dhams famous.
Singing and dancing.
Singing and dancing, yes. When I was first came to the temple, I said, what do I have to do now? They said, you have to sing, dance, and eat. So I said, okay, I'll try it.
Dressing the deities.
Dressing the deities, okay. Dressing, yes.
Recovering the lost pilgrimage places.
I think we have that. Oh, no, we don't have that. Yeah, okay.
Conversation with scientists.
Conversation with?
Scientists.
With scientists. Yes, yes. Conversations he had. Mm-hmm. What else?
Uniting people from all over the world.
Oh, right. United Nations. Uniting people from all over the world. Okay. Yes.
Four regulative principles.
Oh, I'm glad you appreciate that. In the West, it was not so much.
Love and peace.
Love and peace. Yes. We're going to see a video very soon about love and peace. Prabhupada in 1967 on Hippie Hill. What else? Okay, are we filled? We filled. Room for one more.
102.
Okay.
A house where everyone can live.
House where everyone can live.
Full victory pro control agenda.
What's that?
Full victory.
Not in the karnis. Who are karnis?
Sorry.
Karnis means
I need to go ahead.
And when they get some results, they engage the prophets and sense their
three.
That is called Gurney.
And then go ahead 15 minutes. Ahead, just go up to here, like, yeah, move up to here.
Now it's 31.
Yeah, keep going. Keep going, okay.
30.
Okay, leave it there. Now, very soon, leave it there, it's okay.
Pause it, or?
Yeah, pause. Thank you. So we're going to see a video of Srila Prabhupada, and then you can make it, okay, then you can make it full screen, yeah. And so I want you to watch Srila Prabhupada very carefully in this video. It's not a long video, it's very short. Watch Srila Prabhupada and watch what qualities Srila Prabhupada is showing in this video. So everybody, please watch Srila Prabhupada very carefully. Now you're going to make it go. Go back. Yeah.
Escape.
Yeah, escape is not working. I think you have to, now we are frozen. All right. Okay. No, that was, you wait, you should let it go first and then do that. Now it's too late, huh? You can't go back? Go.
Okay, if you can talk for 1 minute, I will.
Okay, back we go. Yeah. My computer is not happy. Okay. So, now we have to cancel. Any questions? You have to turn off the computer.
Yes.
I know, it looks like, no? Just going back to the same thing. Any questions about Srila Prabhupada at this point?
More of
my association, okay. 1972, I went to Vrindavan, India. Prabhupada was speaking on Nectar of Devotion lectures. And, okay, now we're doing better, huh? Nectar of Devotion lectures. And he told us, We would hear the lectures in the morning and the evening. And one time, he singled me out in his darshan. And again, he said something that didn't happen when he was here, but 30 years later it happened. Some words he said to me that actually came true. Just like in Mayapur, he said about writing books. So in Vrindavan, he told me something else. And it was indirect, but it actually came true. So what he said was, my sister tells me, you speak Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely. So I was completely puzzled because I never spoke Bhagavatam and what to speak of nicely. And so I was thinking, well, what is she talking about here? And so then I remembered, oh, it was Janmashtami Day in Calcutta Temple. So open, right side, open VOB.
Not in the Karnis.
The audio
who
are Karnis? Chapter number 3.
Karnis means those who are after sensitive figures.
Audio
they will work
3.
Hard day and night like...
Okay, and then go ahead. Just move it ahead. Now you've got the proper sound. So move it. Yeah, okay. Oh, we're freezing now. It's okay.
How many minutes?
A little bit more. A little more. So then, Ramananda. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, you can leave. You can just let it go. So Prabhupada, yeah, okay, this is fine. Yeah, just make the sound louder. So I'll tell you after. I'll finish the story. Yeah. Now after this, now watch Prabhupada here. Watch Prabhupada as soon as he comes. This is in Hippie Hill, 1967, San Francisco. There's Jayananda Subal. Thank you. Shama Sundar. Can turn lights. What qualities did you see in Srila Prabhupada in that video? Yes?
Sobriety.
Sobriety. Mm-hmm. What else?
He's very
grave. Yes.
Calmness.
What else did you see?
Encouraging people.
Uh-huh. He was pleased.
He was pleased. Mm-hmm. What else did you see there? What other qualities did you see in Srila Prabhupada in that?
Bold.
I mean, can you imagine yourself going there with all those people who are probably very high on drugs and getting them all to chant like that? I mean, he was in control of all those hippies. He was completely in control. And what else did you see?
Confidence,
yes. He was very confident. What else?
In the end, he looked like he was actually in ecstasy.
He was happy. He said, I got the feeling that he was thinking, oh, now my movement is going to actually spread. He said, now it's happening. It's actually happening. What he came and he was praying for, and when he arrived in America, now it was actually happening. Everyone is dancing and happy, chanting Hare Krishna. Any other qualities did you see there? Srila Prabhupada in that video. Yeah, he was participating. Well, actually, he was making them participate in what he was doing, I think. But yes, he was a part of it. He didn't stay aloof. Yeah, he was a part of the group. And it wasn't his group at all. I mean, completely different. He was an elderly, you know, saintly person, and here's all these hippies who are breaking all the regulative principles at once. But he got them to chant and dance. What other qualities?
He was looking with compassion.
Compassion, very much compassion. Compassion, yes.
He was master in playing kartal.
Master in playing kartals. Yes. And he was very tolerant. There's this huge drum right back of his head, you know, booming out. And so much he had to tolerate.
Like a child, he was very tender.
He was tender with a child in the beginning, yeah. Very sweet with a little child. Yes. He was detached, but at the same time, he was very loving. He was very loving. So now I'll show you one last PowerPoint presentation. So this was made by one of my friends. Her name is Shimati. She's from Australia. She's from Brisbane. Oh my gosh, so many people came from here. I can do it with this, I guess. Just to come back. It's not working. Try a different... Now it's working. Okay.
Working?
Yeah. So open it and go to slideshow. That's it. Weird on that. Okay, I'll go to slideshow. Review. Review. So this was an offering. This book was made by Shimati, and the PowerPoint was made by Tega Chaitanya from Malaysia. I forgot how to do this. It's not working. Okay. Okay. No? Okay, now it's... Oh, I see, I hit it off. Now it's on. Right. Now we go back. Is this the first picture? Okay. So these deities are from I don't know where. But they're very nice deities. And then we have Radha Rasbihari and Juhu Bombay. This is New Mayapur. France. This is Radisham Vrindavan. Radha Vrindavan Chandra in New Vrindavan. And Gornitai in Vrindavan. Heart to heart. So this is a glorification of Srila Prabhupada by my friend Shrimati, who's originally from Brisbane. Pushpanjali of contemplative prayers offered at the Divine Lotus Feet of our beloved Srila Prabhupada. O Prabhupada, O moon amongst devotees and touchstone of preachers, chanting with Krishna's name with a voice intense with emotion, you capture the hearts and minds of the people of this world. Please capture my heart, a stubborn and stray animal, and make it your own. O Prabhupada, O selfless and magnanimous maintainer of your devotees, raising your arms and dancing in ecstasy, you gave new life to a world drugged by the vices of Kali. Please appear in my heart, dance up a storm, and blind me to everything but you and the world of your Radhesham. O Prabhupada, the soft light from your lamp of affection illuminates my heart and step by step makes clear the path through the dangerous darkness of Kali's reign. May my mind and heart be forever fixed on that lamp in gratitude, for it is my solace and safety in this mad dark world of names. O Prabhupada, your lotus lips continuously shower forth the sweetest nectar in the form of Krishna's name and fame. So unassumingly you gave us so much, so easily. Let me never treat your gifts cheaply. Rather like a miser counting and admiring his coins, let me become increasingly attracted and attached to the treasures you have given us. O Prabhupada, although I have not even a sesame seed of pure devotion for you and your sham, you can make the impossible possible. Kindly take up residence in my heart and also give me residence in yours. Then I will surely come to understand what it means to truly love Krishna. O Prabhupada, When will you rescue this unfortunate person drowning in an ocean of self-inflicted pain? When even in a dream will my head be decorated with the dust of your lotus feet and my face blossom into a smile from the soothing rays of your loving glance? Oh, Prabhupada, real love flourishes in the fire of separation. Now is the time to prove my real love for you. Let me not trust my mind and senses and their accomplices, which tell me that you're gone. Oh, Prabhupada, if I truly love you, I will surely find you in the faces of your sincere devotees, in the pages of your books, in the struggle to become Krishna conscious and serve you. Now, there's a second part, a daily Mangalarti meditation, and she offers all the different articles that we offer to Krishna. She offers her life and soul to Prabhupada in this meditation. All these pictures are from Vrindavan. Oh, Prabhupada, when will I confidently sound the conch, announcing the victory of your teachings and devotional process over my unruly mind and senses? Oh, Prabhupada, when will I offer you a mind strongly but sweetly fragranced with the incense scent of non-enviousness and true equanimity? Oh, Prabhupada, when will I offer you the lamp of my heart, ablaze with a desire to serve your desires as my own? Oh, Prabhupada, when will I offer you honest tears of repentance for the many times I have abused your gracious and practical magnanimity? Oh, Prabhupada, when will I take the well-kept cloth of my false pride and help clean the weeping sores presently painting your beloved ISKCON? Oh, Prabhupada, when will I stop worshipping you with flowers offered without devotion and sincerely offer the lotus of my heart at your divine lotus feet? Oh, Prabhupada, when will I take the chamara of unmotivated discrimination and whisk aside the self-imposed obstacles obstructing my wholehearted service to you? Oh, Prabhupada, when will I fan you with enthusiastic plans for nourishing and expanding your mission, plans based on simple purity and compassion? Oh, Prabhupada, when will I sound the conch to announce that the final battle has been won, that my mind and heart have taken full and permanent shelter at your divinely soft lotus feet? Oh, Prabhupada, when, oh, when will that day come? Thanks. Our sincere gratitude. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, who came with the message of the absolute world, which enables us to appreciate the unlimited glories of the Supreme Lord. Let us follow in his footsteps. In the process of presenting this workshop, if we have knowingly or unknowingly offended any one of you, then we humbly beg for your forgiveness and ask you to bless us so that we can make some spiritual progress. Hare Krishna. Dasaru Das Tyaga Chaitanya Das Shimati Devi Dasi. Tyaga Chaitanya from Malaysia has made this PowerPoint and Shimati has written it. Hare Krishna, thank you. So I'll finish the story that I began about, so you can take apart everything. In Vrindavan, so give me the piece that goes to this. Yeah, thank you. 1972, so Srila Prabhupada said to me, my sister tells me that you speak Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely. So I didn't know what he was talking about. Then I remembered in Janamashtami in Calcutta in 1972. It was the practice of the devotees in those days. On Janamashtami day, you had to read from morning until midnight from Krishna book. And there was only 10 of devotees in the temple. So, and you know, some were cooking and some were reading. So it came my turn to read. And I was reading Krishna book, and I was reading Rasalila. And Prabhupada's sister was sitting in front of me, listening. She was, I think, my only audience, practically. We didn't have a big crowd in those days. And I was getting to the part where, oh, Krishna left the gopis. And I was being very dramatic. And she started crying. And she didn't know a word of English. She only knew Bengali. And I was reading in English. So, but she understood everything, you know, and so she told Prabhupada, oh, she speaks Bhagavatam very nicely. I was reading Krishna book, that's how my career started. But then 30 years later, I started teaching Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Vedanta, Srimad Bhagavatam. We started, Brijan and I started in 2002, and now we are finishing Bhagavatam this year in 2010-11. We will finish the 12th canto. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhaktivedanta. So what I learned was that the words of a pure devotee must come true. If he says something, then it must happen. Even if it's indirect or it's whatever. But one day I was speaking Bhagavatam and I said, and then I realized, oh, Prabhupada said, you speak Bhagavatam. I mean, he said, my sister tells you, but the words came out of his mouth, you speak Bhagavatam. So I ended up speaking Bhagavatam and writing books, even though I never thought I was going to do that. I had no idea, but it happened. So, do you have any questions about? Yeah.
You mentioned this last time with the spiders.
The spiders, right?
How can we understand this if we clean the temple, which is not different from Vrindavan? Sometimes people think, well, the cockroaches and the rats have to stay there because you're offending them.
Prabhupada, he had different relationships with the cockroaches and the bugs. Sometimes he would be very compassionate, but if they would get to be too much, then he would blame it on us. He would say, it's because you're dirty, you're not clean enough, that's why they're coming. So he would make us, like if there were too many cockroaches or something, he would make us clean better. He never told us to kill. In Calcutta, we had so many big ones. And there's nothing we could do about it. Because it was same flat now, but that in those days it was worse. And big rats and everything. But he never told us to kill them. But he did say that we should be clean, that's all. That was his answer to that. It's not that they should stay and live with us, all the cockroaches. But if they were there, then he was merciful. But one time he took one cockroach and he put it out. He took it to the window and to put it out the window. And he said, now you're free. Take the whole world and enjoy. And one time he was with one devotee. Yeah, you just have to see if it's over the limit, and then it should not be tolerated. Then you have to really clean it up and throw them all out or somehow take them out. But if it's just one little innocent cockroach, you know, then you just put him out the window. And little bugs, he was very merciful to the bugs. And there was one devotee who was sitting, Prabhupada was sitting that side, and so Prabhupada said, do you see that ant? And the devotee said he didn't see the end. So he didn't want to say yes because he would seem foolish. He didn't want to say no because it was a lie. So he said, like this. He didn't say yes or no. And Prabhupada said, do you know what your duty to that ant is? So the devotee was thinking, I can't even see the ant. Now I've got a duty to him. And so then Prabhupada said, your duty is to make that ant Krishna conscious. And then our movement will be a great success. So he had different moods. He was very merciful. At the same time, he didn't want to have like an overpopulation of cockroaches and rats and things. He didn't appreciate that. But sometimes he would say, you know, even the cockroaches here are getting the benefit of the Hare Krishna mantra. And he also said that somebody who had used to own this house in his last life was very attached to his house, so he may have taken birth as a cockroach in the house in the next life, in this life. Yeah. He wasn't into killing them, but he was at the same time not into living with them. So you have to figure, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Don't live, don't die. There's another, yeah, when there is a, you know, in the beginning days, we weren't supposed to step on Tulsi's shadow. Now in Hawaii, there were these huge Tulsis, and so it was very impossible not to step on the shadow. And so they asked Prabhupada, what can we do? You know, the shadows are everywhere. And he says, don't live, don't die. You just have to figure out what to do. Any other? Yeah, so I heard you had some possums living here, he says. So yeah, they should be evicted, but not killed, of course. They should be found a nice home somewhere, adopted by someone, or if someone likes to keep a pet possum. Other questions? Yes?
Do you mind to say something about your relation with Srila Prabhupada when he left?
I was in Calcutta when Prabhupada left. And they had told us, well, first of all, they didn't allow us to go to Vrindavan because all the temples would be closed and all the devotees would go to Vrindavan. So then Prabhupada had said that he will not go. Some devotees begged him, please stay, please stay. So he said, okay. So we all thought he's going to stay for another 20 years. 10 years, 20 years. So we thought he agreed to stay. And he was supposed to come to Mayapur. So we were expecting him in Calcutta. Because he always would come to Calcutta and then go to Mayapur. So and then they were trying to reach us on the phone. But in those days, phones in India just didn't work in 72. The phones just, they really didn't work very well. We had a phone, but you know, you have to dial at least 10 times to get the number, and then that phone probably didn't work, you know, so it was like, that's how it was. Now it's, you know, everybody's got their mobile, it's not a problem. Everybody, and the workers have their mobiles, and everybody has, you know, the rickshawwalas have their mobiles, and it's not a problem anymore. But before, like, the phones just didn't work. So they were trying to reach us the whole day because they knew Prabhupada was going to leave. The Kaviraj said he has like 6-7 hours left. So they couldn't reach us in time to tell us. And then so we found out after he left, maybe 2-3 hours, I think. And then it was like 10 o'clock at night, and then we just all stayed up and we couldn't sleep. And everybody, and then the next day we were all crying and doing our service. You know, we just, because we were so shocked because he said he wasn't going to leave, and but then he left. So we thought, you know, how can he leave us? You know, we just couldn't believe it. That he promised and then he just left. So we just were really in shock. And Jaitaka Maharaj, he had left. He was with Prabhupada and he had left the day before Prabhupada left his body. He had left to go on the train to come to Mayapur. So he arrived in Calcutta the morning after Prabhupada left. And we had lotus flowers all around the Prabhupada's Vyasasana. And he just he came to the door. I remember he came to the door of Calcutta Temple. He looked at the Vyasa sign. He turned around and he took an airplane right back to Delhi. He didn't even step in the temple. But all of us were just crying and doing. We had to do our service. So, you know, I was the pujari, 20-hour service, puja every day, and it was a great shock. But then we had to go on. We knew that that's what he wanted us to do. And then like 2 weeks later, we had a special feast, and I was the pujari, so I was watching the deities on that day, and I saw how their expression was so amazing, very compassionate, very, like they were also feeling separation from Prabhupada too. Because I was with the deities like 20 hours a day, so I was always watching them. I was with them, literally with them, doing the deity watch and everything. And so, yeah, we could perceive that it was like that. But also I had some very nice times with Srila Prabhupada in the deity worship, and I'll just tell you a few of those. One time I was doing Mangalarti. I was doing like Mangalarti, 10 o'clock arti, 4 o'clock arti, 7 o'clock arti, dressing morning and night, and all the flowers and tulsi, taking care of tulsi. And if any pujari didn't show up, I had to cover it. So that was my day. Get up at 2:30, sleep at 10:30. And one time I was doing Mangalarti and Prabhupada was there. And I was offering the ghee lamp to the deities, and I turned around and Prabhupada was standing 6 inches behind me, because that in Calcutta there is no separation practically between the deities. It was on the same level, still today. But now they have, you know, bars and all kind of things. That time was just a little chain. So he was standing right behind me, and I was thinking, okay, should I just offer him the ghee lamp, or should I do puja, or what am I supposed to do now? So I think what I did was I did a quick puja and then offered it to him like this. Then the whole arti, he was standing right behind me. So I was very, very nervous. And then afterwards I thought, I should do all my service like that, that he's standing right behind watching me what I'm doing. Because then I'll do it very nicely. I'll be very attentive to what I'm doing. And then he liked the deity. Sometimes he would praise, sometimes he would chastise. So one time we had these huge ghee lamps, 4 feet tall, because the lights were always going out. And so we had ghee lamps burning. So one time Prabhupada said, "Why is the ghee lamp dirty? Who has done this?" I thought he should have said, "Who has not done this?" But anyway, so he calls us up, you know, we have to go right in front of him, and he's, you just want to disappear, but you can't, and you have to stay there and take the chastisement. But other times he would praise us. One thing about Calcutta is we had a very opulent flower decoration, and I used to change the flowers 5 times every day. I had one man bringing me 50 garlands every day just for Radha Krishna and Jagannath. And so Prabhupada, he would see the deity worship, and every time he would give a lecture, he would always talk about the deities. And he said, "This deity worship is under the direction of Srimati Radharani. Radharani is in charge of the deity worship here." And I think he meant that not just there, I think he meant that in all the temples. In all the temples, Radharani's in charge, because she's in charge of bhakti. So what used to happen with our deities, there was these, in back of our deities there was a window, and every day these two huge bumblebees will come, and they will come to Radha Krishna's, Radha Govinda's site, and they will sit in these, we had these big, big lotus flowers, one dozen every day, 144 lotuses every day, one dozen times one dozen, 144. So they were all over the altar, and the bees will come and they'll sit inside the lotuses. So I would go inside the deity room, and lotus will be on Krishna's foot, and this bee will come flying out of the lotus. And then on Jagannath's side, small bees would come, and they would sit on the garlands of Lord Jagannath, just like the descriptions of Vaikuntha. Small bees, just covering the garlands. And so Prabhupada said that when the bees come, that's a sign that Krishna is pleased with the worship. So we had the bees coming every day. Even though we had so much austerity and no water and no milk. And one year he told us, "You don't have to do Chaturmasya this year. You do enough austerity already." There's no chaturmasya for you. We didn't even get milk and ghee and all these things. We didn't have. It was and water, drinking water. Also, we went to the street in Calcutta and from the pump, that's the water we were drinking from the streets as our drinking water. Anyway, but it was very sweet because Prabhupada was there. And I was so happy. I felt like I'm in the spiritual world. I was with Krishna all the time. Any other questions or comments? Yes?
When you joined the movement, then was it some experience?
Okay, I joined in 1970 in Boston. And I was searching for a guru. And I was trying so many different gurus. In that time in Boston, many gurus were there. So many. And I would try and I would do whatever they say. So I went to one and this one said, okay, you do this mantra morning and night, and after 6 months, you will become liberated, and maybe you might become God also. It might happen after you get liberated. So I tried it, but I didn't become God. This didn't work, you know. I couldn't even give up my bad habits, so to speak, of becoming God. I wasn't even liberated from my other things. So then I tried Zen yoga, Hatha yoga, and then I tried, you know, chanting, dancing. And so we went to the temple first time, and we were chanting, dancing, and after the first time I heard Hare Krishna, that was it. I couldn't get it out from my mind. And as I said before, I was reading the books, and before I was reading so many books, but as soon as I got Prabhupada's book, that was it. I couldn't read any more books. I was finished. My life, my career of reading material books was finished. And so we were, but it was very austere. We used to get up. Of course, we didn't get up early those days. We would chant. One of my services was to chant morning, 10 o'clock in the morning till 10 at night. But actually, okay, I'll tell you how I joined. I forgot to tell you that. My husband was not so interested. I was more interested. So I was going to the temple. He was not interested. And then one weekend came where the devotee said, okay, why don't you stay for the weekend? Prabhupada is coming. So I said, okay, I'll stay for the... My husband didn't stay. I stayed. So I stayed for the weekend. But the day Prabhupada was supposed to come, he phoned up and said, oh, I'm not coming, but I'm sending 4 sannyasis instead. So one of those 4 was Vishnu Jan Maharaj, and he was quite amazing. And I was a musician, so I was always, you know, I was trained to hear. So when I joined, when I became a devotee, then when I heard Hare Krishna, I thought, wow, this is the perfect sound. I've never heard a sound like this before in my musical career. This is the best sound. This is perfect. And so then that, when Vishnu Jan Maharaj came, we were out on the streets morning till night, and we were so happy. After the weekend, I said, oh, why should I go back? I'm so happy. So I went home and said goodbye to my husband and came back. But then he had to join because he was a hippie and his philosophy was, I won't work. So I was working little and so he had some money. And after that, he had no money, so he had to join too. He also became a devotee after 2 months. And then, we were out on the streets morning till night. And then... after 6 months, our president said, I'm going to send you to Florida. Now, we were in Boston, which is the very north, top, and Florida is south, very south. He says, I'm sending you to Florida. So how did he send us? He put us out on the street, and we had to hitchhike from Boston to Florida. And in those days, we were just in sheets. We didn't have saris and dhotis. We had sheets. And we were on the street with our boxes, no suitcases. And we had to hitchhike. And somebody's supposed to pick us up, right? Well, they did, actually. So then after we were 1 year in Florida, and I got an initiation by mail. What happened was, in those days, after 6 months, you get initiated. You had to wait 6 months. And my husband was... 2 months behind me. So then Satsarup Maharaj told me, oh, you should wait for your husband. Wait 8 months. I said, okay. I waited 8 months. I said to my husband, okay, let's get initiated. He says, I'm not ready. I said, all right, I'm not waiting any longer. I'm going to write a letter to Prabhupada. And I wrote to Prabhupada and I quoted Srimad Bhagavatam's second canto of, you don't get the dust of a pure devotee on your head, you're just like a dead body. So he initiated me. And in my letter, he gave me 6 instructions, of which I've been able to do 5 so far. And the first one, chant 16 rounds, follow strictly the 4 regulative principles, and read and study all the books, and do deity worship, and do Sankirtan preaching. So the first 7 years, practically, I did deity worship in Calcutta. Then 7 years, I did preaching, Sankirtan book distribution in Bombay, Maharashtra, Gujarat, traveling book distribution in India. And then now I've been doing studying the books and teaching for 10-12 years. Now, those 5 I've done, but the last one is 24 hours be engaged, so that one is yet to be done. And then in the second letter he sent to me out of the blue, he told me how to do it. He said 3 qualities, how to do your service. He said enthusiasm, sincerity, and cooperation with the devotees. That's the last one is very hard, very hard. So then, so then in 1972, Prabhupada asked for 50 devotees to go to India. So all the temples are supposed to choose 2 or 3 devotees. So again, we were in Dallas at that point, and Satsrup was Maharaj, and he said, I'm sending you to India. We said, oh my God, how are we going to get to India now? So we had to hitchhike to New York, and then in New York, they had mercy on us, and they let us collect. We had a little pamphlet on chanting Hare Krishna. We get 25 cents, and after 3 weeks, we got our fare, one-way fare, for $300 each. So we got $600 after 2 weeks on the street selling these little pamphlets for 25 cents. And we went to India one way. We landed in Bombay, and Bombay was an amazing, so austere. It was the most austere place in India, Juhu, because there was no temple, and it was just... The deities were in a tent, and the men were in a hut, and the hut was indescribable. It was the men's ashram, it was the prasadam room, it was the kitchen, it was everything in one. And I remember the first day I was there eating prasadam, and I was watching these big rats running across the top of the thing, and I was thinking, is it going to fall in my plate? And no, it fell in Pancha Devita's plate. And at that point, I was very happy it wasn't me. I was very glad that it happened to him and not me. And the drinking water was indescribable. It was a clay pot with a top, and you lift the top off, and all these mosquitoes will fly out from it. We're supposed to drink. That's how we had to drink. And we were all sick after 3-4 days. It only took a few days until, you know, they would look at us, the ones who were already there, and say, okay. And then we would get sick. And the deities were in a tent also. And I remember Hari Keshi put his raincoat up over the deities to protect them from the rain. It was very, the deities were just as austere as we were. And the ladies were even worse. We were on the roof of the building. We didn't even have a roof over our heads. And that was the ladies' ashram. There was no room. It was just a roof. And Vishaka, Yadubar's wife, was up there writing a Back to Godhead article, and Saradio was up there painting pictures, and another one, Maithili, she was up there just freaking out because she's very big and the mosquito net was small, and she just couldn't, feeling claustrophobic. And it was very austere. Mayapur is the same thing. In the Mayapur festival, the ladies are up on the roof, and I remember one Mayapur festival, it was, we were up on the roof with all our things, and then in the middle of the night, we were sleeping, a huge storm came and blew everything off the roof. And I lost my japa beads, my original Prabhupada's beads, but I was so lucky, the next morning when I woke up, somebody had my beads. And they said, do you know who these belong to? I said, yeah, they're my beads. I mean, we lost a lot of things off the roof, but it was very austere in those days, and... So after 2 weeks in Bombay, they sent us to Calcutta to be pujari. And Calcutta was austere. There was no water or electricity, but at least I had a roof over my head, so I was very happy about that. And I lived there for 7 years, just on the floor. Actually, 18 years, I was just on a chattai on the floor. We had no beds at all. And until I got pregnant, and I couldn't get up off the floor, so then I had to get a bed. Then that was, and it wasn't, we found a broken bed with three legs and put some bricks under it. That was my bed. I was very proud to have a bed, you know. Now it's different, but in those days it was very difficult. But Prabhupada, no matter what austerities we did, Prabhupada did more, so we didn't mind. We were very happy to do austerities for Srila Prabhupada and just to build the temples for him in India and to spread this movement. So I think we'll stop here because it must be almost time for aarti. 7 o'clock is aarti? Okay. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.